This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 355 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. For tonight's show, well, we're going to be picking the Show 350 contest winner tonight. And we're going to be awarding all those prizes to somebody, and that consolation prize also. We're also going to be then going to an interview that Jimmy and Morgan did with Lisa Donato-Glasner of the Castle Run Core Memory Candles, which are those really excellent candles that just make you think about places once you smell them. And she specializes in odors from the parks. And wait do you hear this interview? It's pretty incredible. But before that, or wait a minute, maybe I should wait for after that and then talk about the content. No, I wouldn't do that. Okay, guys, let's get this started. Hey, this is Ed, and this is the Show 350 contest winner. Now, I will give you a little bit of suspense because I want to remind everybody what the contest was about. If you remember, back in Show 350, just for that 350th show anniversary, we decided to do the contest of the pre-shows, the opening shows that basically you go through before an attraction at Walt Disney World. We figured there won't be many pre-shows once we get back to the parks and everything reopens, and we were correct. So we put together a really great string of pre-shows, just to remind us what they were like and what they were, and some of the ones that I personally like my favorites too.
Hello.
Wowee! That's almost as much fun as New Year's Eve in the Orange Groves.
My name is Pat.
Great, you've all made it. It's important that you can all see me, so move a little if you can't. Before we send you to the link chamber.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the test track. My name is Bill McKim. I'm up here in the control center. In just a couple of minutes, you're going to be out there on that track.
Good company.
Hey,
wow.
Hey.
All right.
How do, people?
Right. Hey, don't mind us. We'll be finished in just a minute.
Hey.
Yeah.
What is that? Oh. How would that have happened? We don't even deliver IR disruptors. They're illegal. You know that.
This is Skipper Albert AWOL, the voice of the jungle, broadcasting on the...
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension.
International Space Training Center. You're here today to train for the greatest adventure in the history of mankind.
We'll be opening the doors in just about 3 minutes. But for now, here's a taste of the sophisticated, highbrow humor that awaits you inside.
Hold that take, Wazowski. I've been tough on you and...
All right, we're just about ready to start the movie. So if you listen carefully, you can hear the orchestra...
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Mansion. I am your host, your...
So we asked everybody to listen to that show, send an email to us with those 13 clips, and then name them in order. What were they the pre-show for? What was the attraction they were opening up? And also, I asked, for a consolation prize, what we're going to do is that if you can pick out the pre-show that you really can never hear or see again at the parks, you can add that at the end of your list of 13, and then you'd be entered into that other contest, the basically supplemental prize. So we got a lot of those. Basically, everybody did really well. We had 15 people enter the contest, which is really awesome. And I'm going to pick them all now. Now, if you listen to the show, you know about the Wheel of Attraction. We're going to use the Wheel of Attraction tonight to decide our winner. So now, what I'm going to do is, real quick, before I tell you who we have, as far as our contestants, I want to go over what the prizes were. And what I said earlier was that we tried to hit something from all the major Disney properties. So the one item is a graphic novel from Marvel, which just happens to be about Han Solo. So I'm counting this one as Marvel, but it does kind of count as Star Wars. We have a brand new, and this was actually given out at the opening of Toy Story Land, pack of four postcards that are all Toy Story Land themed, and they are pretty cool. They're almost like kind of too cool to send to anybody. They're more like for display. Along with that, we have this really nice, cool little Disney Parks tote bag. It's not that big. I would say it's a small purse size bag, but it is very, very cool. Definitely something to hang on to. In addition to that, prize-wise, we have, the best I could describe it, is a 3D Alice in Wonderland display model, which is very cool. We also have for display a Baby Yoda, or the child, from The Mandalorian. And that actually, nothing special. That's actually what somebody put together for you. In addition, prize-wise, we also have a Mickey Mouse. I guess best I could describe it is a teacup from the Magic Kingdom. Very cool teacup, very nice, ceramic. Not as big as most, and that's why I'm calling it a teacup as opposed to a mug, but very, very cool. And in addition to that, we have the Chewbacca cup holder, or popcorn holder, or slushy holder, whatever you want. Basically, they were giving these away at Hollywood Studios a couple years ago, and they're very, very cool to have. And along with that, of course, some Disney Nerd swag. So once we find our winner, I'll send an email back to you telling you you've won, and then we can trade addresses and such like that and get those prizes on the way. As I said, I have the Wheel of Attractions rigged up for the prize pick for this contest. Now, I want to go over who our contestants are, and it was really nice in that out of 15 entries, only the one name repeats. And it's Mark, and I can kind of get away with that because one is Mark with a C, the other is Mark with a K. Okay, so let me go down the list of the names. Of course, only first names. We're not going to give last names. Unless the winner, once we pick the winner, tells me that we can give a last name. Okay, so here we have is Mark with a C, Andy, Alex, Mark with a K, Mandy, Dietrich, Michael, Lisa, Stacy, Kelly, Chris with a K, Steph, Ryan, Randy, and Martha. So we have a bunch of contestants, and they're all on the Wheel of Attraction. So without any further ado, let me give this big wheel a spin, and we're going to see who that winner is. Here we go. Okay. Very good. Here it comes. Starting to slow down. And it's Lisa. Lisa L. is the winner of our contest. Congratulations, Lisa. I'm going to be replying back to your email right after I get done recording, and we'll set up on how to get you the prizes. Okay, guys. So now, what we're going to do is spin that wheel one more time. We're going to get the supplemental prize, which, to be honest with you, we haven't even designated what that is. So that's going to be kind of a surprise gift. And what I'll do is on our next show, I'll announce what it is. But it definitely will be something cool. It'll definitely be something kind of like one of the items that was sent out for the contestant, for the winner of the main contest. And I tell you what, there's not as many people into that. So we're going to announce those people, and we'll do the names from them on the wheel, and we'll spin one more time. So the people that are included for the supplemental that either got it right or basically included it on their thing and had it right, on their email and had it right. Mark with a C, Andy, Alex, Mark with a K, Mandy, Stacy, And that is it. So what I will do is go ahead and spin that wheel one more time with those six people, and we'll see who gets that supplemental gift. And again, that's going to be something we haven't determined yet. We will let you know next show what it is we send out. However, it's definitely going to be equal to one of the things we're sending the main winner. Okay, so I'm going to spin that wheel. Here we go. Okay. Starting to slow down. And it's Mark with a C. Okay, Mark with a C. You're going to get an email back from us also, or from me. Basically, just looking for your email address or for your mail address, and we'll send you out the prize for that supplemental thing. And guaranteed it's going to be something cool, so don't worry about that. Okay, guys, so thank you for participating in this contest. The Show 350 contest is, I guess, what the name is that we had for it. We're going to definitely be doing this again very, very soon. Keep listening to the show. Thank you always for listening. We truly appreciate your sponsorship, companionship, friendship, and it makes it worth the while. So definitely, Lisa, look for the email from me. Mark with the C, look for the email from me. So I'm not going to say without further ado again, that's so cliche, but we have our friends Jimmy and Morgan with Lisa talking all about those great candles. Take it away, guys.
We got a great show for you guys tonight. We have a very special guest. I'll bring her on now. Hello, Lisa.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Tell us a little bit about, and for you guys that know Lisa Donato-Glasner, she runs the blog The Castle Run, and that's her website, right? It's thecastlerun.com?
Yes.
So she runs thecastlerun.com, and she also does Core Memory Candles, which mm-hmm. I am a personal fan of. I love them. I have the Grand on my desk at work. And I love it. It changes everything. When I light that candle in my office, it changes the whole environment. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what and how you became a Disney nerd.
That's a big question. So I came here like via a pretty strange route. I think we all probably did, right? So I was up in the Northeast, Mideast, and doing corporate law, and have always been a Disney fan, but kind of like reconnected with my fandom. Like once my kids were really, really young, later in life, I would just go like, I went all the time when I was really, really young. And then there was a period of time when I got away from it. And then I was in corporate law and like pretty miserable, like most people in corporate law. And I've told the story 10,000 times. But you know, my dad got sick, at one point. We did end up losing him. And like during that time, I started doing distance running just to kind of like deal with the yuck of what was a very terrible situation. And like so many people who start distance running, you start to get more sort of mental clarity, in other parts of your life. And for me, it ended up leading to me getting away from corporate law and, you know, it's kind of being empowered to go after a life that called to me and made me a little bit happier. And, you know, roundabout through that, kind of found my way down here. We're very, very local to Disney now. So I live in Windermere, Florida, where a lot of the people in the space who live down here live. So we're just about like 1.2 miles as the crow flies from Cinderella Castle, which used to mean lots of fireworks and sounds and stuff. Not so much these days, but we're still super close.
I mean, I think other than like Golden Oak, it's probably the closest neighborhood. Like Windermere is probably the closest to Disney.
Yeah. So Golden Oak is, I'm actually closer to Magic Kingdom than Golden Oak is.
Gotcha.
I don't have the shuttle service.
You can't have characters over to your house.
But yeah, no, I mean, we're like in the Horizon West section of Windermere. So like that, like Winter Garden, Windermere area that kind of borders the north end of Magic Kingdom is where a lot of us live. Yeah, no, it's such a great area. Like it's crazy because we're super, super close to Disney, but the way that it's zoned, there's no, there's not even Airbnbs here that you can stay in. And so it completely keeps the tourism out. So other than the fact that you can hear the sounds and sights of, you know, Magic Kingdom out your window. You would never know how close you were. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
I actually knew that about the coding, the zoning and all that, because I have a friend, Gerald, who sometimes pops in, but he owns a house in Windermere, but they ended up, him and his wife and the kids ended up moving back to California because of the in-laws, but he still owns the house in Windermere and was looking, he was asking me information because I know a couple other people that live there and I asked and they said, no, can't rent it out. Can't vacation rental it.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate for people who are in that situation, but you can imagine like how much the neighborhood changes as soon as you are able to, you know, rent out, especially short-term places living a mile from Disney. Like, I'm closer to Magic Kingdom than like Boardwalk is.
Sure.
So you can imagine how much like the neighborhood would change if you had.
It would completely, it would make it a rental community and not a living community. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So you live there now. So you live there now, and the castlerun.com, that's your job, like 100%, or do you do something? Is that like?
I do so many different things. Okay. I dabble in everything. So my main, like my heart project is the castlerun.com, and it's kind of my take. It's all me. Like there, I don't have employees or staffers or writers or any of those nice things that some people have. And the reason for that is really that like the blog is my voice. It's not like if you're looking for something that's, lately it's been a little more breaking news than usual just because of the nature of things. But if you're looking for like a site that's like breaking news 24/7 on Disney, like I'm probably not your girl. If you don't like me personally, then you're not gonna like my site because I don't write objectively. I write like I talk. So really it's like, there's a lot of Disney fans and Disney nerds that like come to the blog and get a lot out of it. But I think there's also a lot of people who are coming from like the life that I left. And your daydream might be to, you know, have a potato farm in the Midwest or live on a beach in Tahiti or anything else. And I think like just the fact that I am very openly pursuing a different life is, you know, empowers a lot of people. Sure. So that's kind of the voice of it. So it's not so much like a vacation planning guide as, you know, just kind of sharing our life as
kind of your personal. And look, I mean, a lot of bloggers and vloggers do that. It's about their personal life and not necessarily about the subject. Yeah. Barry's got a good question. Where does he go to buy the candles?
You can just go to coremorycandles.com and that will take you there. You can also go to thecastlerun.com, which is the blog that I was just talking about. And the shop tab there is the, it'll all take you to the same place. So just coremorycandles.com is the most direct way to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I know some people get confused the first time that they visit. So every cent that I offer, first of all, it's like a heart project of mine. And I will say upfront that I developed them. First of all, I have always just needed to have a tangible thing that I create. Like I'm a writer and I do photography and I do all sorts of like not tangible creative things, but I just have always needed like something that I could touch that I made. It just
personally something that in the past couple weeks I've seen two amazing photos that you've taken.
Thank you.
One was the storm rolling in on the beach at Vero.
Yes.
Was incredible. That was just incredible. And then the one you did from behind Cinderella Castle, it looked like you took it almost from the ground.
Yeah. So there were two that I did. I was at Magic Kingdom on Thursday when they did the AP previews and then Saturday when they did like the general public opening. And I took one Thursday. My Instagram, I should mention too, is the Castle Runner. And you'll find a lot of my photography there. You know, as well as the same other stuff I've been talking about. But so on Thursday, I took one all from behind the castle. It was just these rare moments of total quiet and solitude behind the castle that you don't normally get, obviously, in a normal park day. And the one that I took on Saturday was, you're right, like just right from the ground. So you could see that, that you know, rose in the tiles.
Yeah.
From below and up into the castle with a new paint job. And then on Saturday, I took one that a lot of people really, really responded well too, as well, that had like the Sir Mickey's emblem kind of framed out next to the castle with the new paint job.
I don't know if I've seen that one, so I'm gonna have to go look for it now. What is your opinion on the new the new Castle colors?
I really like it in person. I was kind of braced. I think people tend to oversaturate their pictures when they post them. We all do it.
Pink oversaturated that made you think it would be like pink. And it's not really pink. It's more of like a mauve or a.
There's like that rose gold. It's like the pink and then the gold. The pink and the gold together are totally stunning. I think a lot of people's complaint, and I can kind of see where they're coming from, is that the blue was a little jarring in the turrets. And I think that I'm guessing that they did it like that with the expectation that it would be fading a bit over time. And then the other thing about it that looks a little strange at this point is that the lower part is still gray and that's a little bit stark. But I assume that they're still painting because when you get up close to it, there's numbers all over the gray.
We saw that. We saw some post of that.
Yeah, I posted it too. So it almost looks like numbers. A number. So I assume they're going to be going in and kind of making that area a little bit more.
I was watching our friend Nick from DVC Resale Markets live stream for the AP preview, and him and his wife were having a conversation, just having a conversation on the live stream about the colors. And he was saying that the turrets are blue, and she was saying that they're purple. So they're so dark that they're almost like they're pretty dark. They're pretty vibrant.
They're almost like, I don't know, periwinkle. Is that the right use? it's a very vibrant blue-ish purple.
Barry wants to know if you have a All-Star Sports moldy room candle.
I don't.
He's an idiot.
Sorry. I could probably talk you through how to get that in your room.
Yeah, right. You probably. He's probably. I've seen Barry. I've been knowing Barry's probably got that going on already.
I see George just said, if I didn't have hands, I would be speechless. I'm half Italian and half Jewish, so I come by it honestly, and I'm sorry. I'll sit on my hands.
Oh, no, you don't have to. Tina comes in with a hey, Yenz guys. Sam is not on this week, Tina. Sam's a Yenza.
Hey, my family's Yenza, so you're good.
They're from Pittsburgh too, huh?
Yep.
All right. all right. Morgan, any questions? You're the runner. You
have so many. Because, I mean, I obviously checked out your website. You've got a lot. Going on, but I feel like a lot of people want to know about the candles. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we should probably really talk about the candles. Like, what kind are they? Where do you get your inspiration besides obviously Disney to make the candles? Because everybody's really excited in the chat about candles. So, and I want to hear more.
For sure. For sure. So I created the candles because I wanted them myself, and I wasn't, there's a lot of different companies. I mean, there's a handful of other companies in the space that do Disney scent inspired candles. So I certainly don't claim to be the first. I'm not the only, but personally, I wasn't finding what I wanted out there, because when I bring Disney inspired stuff into my home, I tend to want to do it like in a really subtle way. Like there's no Mickey Mouse in my house. Over my television in the family room, there's the patent prints from Doom Buggies in the castle and stuff. And there's like watercolors of the boardwalk. And it's kind of like my little secret when you come into the house.
Sure. If you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah. Like it's like, if you come into the house and you're a Disney person, then like, you're going to get it right away. If you come to the house and you're not a Disney person, then you're not going to feel like alienated by it at all. And it's just kind of my aesthetic in general. So I was looking for like a high quality candle that also had like an aesthetic that meshed with or that vibed with what I liked. And I wasn't finding that personally. And I love like the design space, as well as I'm really into the power of scent to like take you back to the places where you have good memories.
It's a
really powerful.
That's a big deal. I mean, when you think about Disney in general, and I'll give a shout out to John Yaglinski from Intercot.com. That was my first dive into Disney nerdism, was before Facebook was the chat boards over at Intercot.com. But in those chat boards and stuff like that, you always see stuff about scents in Disney, like Rome is Burning and the citrus smell on Soarin', and
Pirates of the Caribbean
and the bakery walking down Main Street and the popcorn stands. So all those things, that's very true. Man, when you smell something like that, it brings you back even more than like a visual, sometimes like a picture.
Yeah, it's such a powerful thing. And so I created them because I personally wasn't finding what I wanted in this space. And my community often kind of gels with me aesthetically, and the kind of things that I'm in the market for, they're often in the market for. So when I started to try and figure out how to make them for myself, I knew that the community would want them as well. And so that's why I launched them. So if you look at them, I should go grab one. If you look at them, and I know you might have one on hand as well. If you look at it, there's no Mickey Mouse on it. My 8-ounce black vessels are just a very clean matte black vessel with a script on them that just says "Breathe, Be Home." Core memory candles, of course, being a play on the Disney, Inside Out, and again, they're just beautiful scents. And if you walked into someone's house, like my Ocean Flight candle, for example, is probably the most iconic scent at Disney World. Disney uses a similar scent throughout property at You Might Love It Because You Love the Contemporary or Beach Club or Yacht Club. It's the smell as you're flying over Fiji on Soarin'. It's also the ocean smell in Flight of Passage. That's all a very iconic scent that runs throughout Disney. And my Ocean Flight candle is that smell. It smells that smell. So if you walk into my house and you're a Disney person and you know that smell, you're going to get it immediately. That being said, if you walk into my house and you're not a Disney person, it just smells really good.
Right.
And that was an easy one because that does smell good. But there were things like Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean isn't a good smell. It's a good smell to us, right? Because it's Pirates of the Caribbean and it takes you there. But it's not necessarily an objectively good smell. And so what I've tried to do throughout my line is to find a way to channel those scents in a really beautiful way. So Pirates is probably the candle that I'm most proud of because you open that candle up, I dare you to tell me that it doesn't smell like Pirates, but it's a beautiful smell. It really is.
Yeah.
It's the burning and the tobacco and the ozone from the water and
Lana wants to know, what is your favorite, your personal favorite?
Depends on the day. I'm probably at the moment, I think the one that I am using the most in my own home is Riviera, which I launched fairly recently. It's a really, really clean smell. It's floral, but it's not overly floral. It's more like tea and greens and earth and bamboo, and it does have that floral scent to it, but it's just this gorgeous scent. And especially with the heat of summer, I tend to get away from the candles that smell more like food or the holidays or something like that into the ones that are sort of more light and fresh, and so right now I've got Riviera going in my house a lot.
The Ocean Flight, which I have not gotten from you yet. I've gotten the Green Clover and Aloe, which is basically the same type of thing from the co-op in Disney. And but that is by far my favorite. And I like it for the same reasons that you talked about, though, that when I walk in and I smell it, it says Bay Lake Tower to me. Mm-hmm. But if somebody else walks in and doesn't know anything about Disney, it's just a really good smell. Yeah. It's not, it's not tied. It doesn't necessarily, it's not contingent on Bay Lake Tower to smell good.
Yeah. And I think like I said, that's a really easy one because that just is objectively a beautiful scent. I've tried to do that kind of across the board with all of the scents. And so, whether it's, Castillo de Moro is what I call my pirate scandal. Again, the names are kind of meant to be beautiful names that channel where it comes from. First of all, there's an IP situation.
You can't call it
Pirates of the Caribbean. But I also just try to name them things that are.
But you could have named it Pirates or something like that. Take it a step further.
Pirate water just does not sound as good.
Well, but I agree. Yeah. If you take it, same thing with the Green Clover and Aloe. To me, Ocean Flight is a much better name than just Green Clover and Aloe. Yeah. So, I completely get it. So Mark says he tried to describe it earlier to someone. He said the earlier candles duplicate the smells, but Lisa's candles transport you back to Disney.
Thanks, Mark.
And I like what you said before about your the jars, about your packaging. I'm also I don't want my house to scream Disney. Mm-hmm. So I like that it's a very simple, very classic, like it's going to go with anybody's room decor. So I really like what you said about that, because I thought the same thing when I was looking at your website. I was looking at the dress, I was like, oh, that is nice, simple, classy, like, yes, I want one in every room.
Yeah, you won't find any like primary colors or Mickey Mouse's on my stuff. Yeah. ever.
Barry said he just looked at your page and he's curious what the Galaxy's Edge one smells like.
So yeah, Bright Suns, it's very, very hard to put into words. It's very futuristic, but at the same time, it's very earthy and homey. So there's a lot of like tonka bean, and what I write there, I try to describe it for you guys in the Bright Suns candle description, but it's this very, very interesting combination of like, I hate to use the word metallic because that sounds cold and it's not, but it is that sort of cool, you know, again, it channels Batu without trying to smell like beef jerky.
I want to ask you the process of coming up with those smells, like developing the smells. What does that process look like?
So,
and you don't have to give away any like trade secrets or anything, but is it like mixing a bunch of different smells that you think are going to smell like it until you get the right?
It depends, like
mixing paint until you get the right color, or is it?
So that's how Castillo came to be. I literally like, I have, you know, I get like 1 ounce samples of like every scent you can imagine in your life. And I just like, I'm smelling them constantly. And I'm like, oh, that's an aspect of that. That's an aspect of that. I've always got like things brewing in my brain. I've got, you know, French Quarter brewing in my mind right now, and Pop and a bunch of others that I haven't finalized yet. So there are certain ones like that where you're almost painting a picture, and like just bringing in different aspects of it and trying to balance it. You know, and cleaning your whole kitchen over and over again to try and like cleanse your palate and go back in again. There are ones that are like that. There are ones where it's a little bit more direct, but still a spin on that. Like, you know, my Polynesia candle, obviously it's Polynesian. And at that one, I literally walked up to staff at Polynesia and I was like, you know, what is this scent? What does your lobby smell like? And they told me it was, I think, hibiscus and passion fruit. So I kind of went in knowing that there were aspects of hibiscus and aspects of fruit in that scent. And I kind of went home, but I knew personally like that when I go to Poly, I get, you know, the fire of, you know, Ohana's grill, and I get a lot of bamboo and greens and ozone from the pool area. So I kind of like, I'll walk right up to Disney and just say, you know, what are you using in this space? But then I kind of walk the property and know what, like, what about this space speaks to me? Because it's really not like, what are you pumping into your lobby so much as like the places that I connect with on the property, like, what am I getting personally? So like, I couldn't do Poly without a little fire, because being outside and smelling Ohana is such a big part of being a Poly to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
And before this show, I popped on to Panda's live show and I was telling that I was having you on later. We were talking about that, and they were talking about, I think, the Galaxy's Edge one. He goes, I think she just uses her charm to talk the Disney people into telling her what the scents are. That's part of the step. And then you take that base and you go from there and build it out yourself to make it your own.
Yeah. And like I said, like to make it authentic. So, you know, I might be well aware that like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, that water smell that everybody talks about on Disney attractions, they can't use chlorine to clean their water. Bromine. They use bromine to clean their water. So that's really the smell you're getting, but you don't necessarily want like bromine in your candle.
Right. No, you don't want to light a candle.
You're trying to kind of channel the, you know, what speaks to you in the space. So, you know, Polynesia again is a great example because like, you know, I can walk up and ask them and they can tell me, oh yeah, this is hibiscus and passion fruit. Well, I can buy those two oils and mix them together in a candle and it's not going to mean anything because that's not really the space that speaks to most people when they're there. Like you probably are the same as me. You probably walk outside, you smell like the water from the pool and the beach and you've got the lagoon right there and Ohana's kind of got the food cooking and that's all those scents kind of combined to create that memory. So when I'm creating it, I kind of take what they tell me as a baseline and then go from there.
It's my wife chiming in saying she loves the Haunted Mansion candle. That's her. I don't even think she got to burn the Grand Floridi one because I actually thought that would be her least favorite, but I like it. So I snagged that one and took it to work.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So
that's one of my more floral, but it's, again, it's not in your face at all.
Yeah. I like it. I really do. Hey, what's up, Joe Diebold? Eddie said he was on Batu today.
Nice.
Yeah. Not too much longer. Heading to Animal Kingdom tomorrow. I fly into Disney tomorrow evening. I'll be at Magic Kingdom Thursday. I cannot wait. Seeing all these pictures with these empty parks. I know the mask. I went to Universal a few weeks ago because we had never been and we were supposed to go to Disney, but it wasn't open. And the mask sucked. But I mean, you know, but it's still with the low crowds, it's still so worth it. It's so worth it to be able to go experience all that stuff with literally hardly no crowds.
Yeah, you just kind of pace yourself differently. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people lately have asked me, and I'm sure you and everybody else in the space, like, should I come now? And my easy answer is just like, if what you're longing for is this place and just kind of to be here and that brings you joy, then you should absolutely come right now. If it's like your one time trip that you've been saving for as a family and your, you know, big dream is to like go to Cinderella's Royal Table, then this probably isn't the time for that trip.
That's pretty much spot on what's been my advice. And what I've said is, yeah, if you're the type of person that's going once every year or every 2 years and it's your big family vacation, you might want to wait till next year for the 50th. But if you're like us and go annual pass holders and go, you know, often, well, I know what I'm getting and I go multiple times. So this one time isn't going to change anything.
And I know like the AP news that just came out a few hours ago.
Great stuff, huh?
A really big deal for all of us because it's like, it brings back that like spontaneous stop into the parks. And I like, for me, like even when I wasn't local, I always had an AP, partly just psychologically, like that knowledge that you could walk into the park at any time, even if I was, you know, 900 miles away, was kind of part of that drive to have the AP.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an AP holder. So, I'm in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But you know, flights are so ridiculously cheap right now. It's nothing for me to grab a flight on Southwest and hop down there. My wife says she plans on me buying her more candles.
I'm a pass holder too, and I'm in North Carolina. So
yeah.
When I was in Maryland, we were pass holders as a family.
Yes, Sam's like a pass holder. He's in Pittsburgh, and Lisa lives there. Our co-host Lisa Dossie lives down there now, but she was a pass holder before when she lived in outside of Boston in New England. So yeah, it's, I agree 100%. I don't know if I would recommend it for the person that goes, that's their big trip and they go every 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I plan on hopefully my boyfriend's coming with me in November and I plan on buying him an annual pass just because you're in a relationship with me. You're going more than once a year. Let's just be honest. I mean, it, you know.
Yeah, I think the math shakes out if you're coming down a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yep, for sure.
Jeffrey, so, I just saw you ask where you could find the blog. It's thecastlerun.com is the blog.
Yeah, we actually have it running at the bottom of the screen, thecastlerun.com, and her core memory candles.
Rudy says take advantage of the rest zones, which I think are cool. It seems like they have those quite a few different places. And I think at Magic Kingdom, two of the three are air conditioned. Now Tomorrowland Terrace is air conditioned, but it's outside air conditioned. So it's not cold like if you would walk into. And then Pete's Silly Sideshow is air conditioned. Mm-hmm. And I think there's one more that's not. I was very excited today. Like, I saw a news post about the ones in Epcot, and I had to share it with Morgan and the group, our little group, that one of the ones in Epcot is next to the Rose and Crown, because the Rose and Crown is absolutely my favorite place. And so the idea of being able to not be able to go in the Rose and Crown and get a pint. So now there's a rest zone right next to it that I can just go take my mask off and get a pint. And Miss Carol will be playing in the theater, the gardens behind back there. So that's cool.
Yes. Yeah, I love that she's going to be back there. And then Acreshost is another. So obviously that's going to be
inside. So that's cool that that they opened up the restaurant just for you to go sit inside. And I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because they're obviously not doing the princess meet and greets, so. Or the princess dinner, I should say.
Princess, right. Yep. So on the site, you have candles, wax melts, and oil.
So there are two different size candles. There's the large 8-ounce black vessels that are like the heavyweight matte black vessels with a wooden lid. That's what I originally launched with, and obviously that's still there. And then I have 6-ounce tins that are just lidded tins. They're travel friendly. They're, obviously less expensive. They're sort of like a shorter, wider 6-ounce tin. And then I have 5-ounce wax melt packs, which I will mention are about twice the size of what you'll get elsewhere. So the wax melts, I know a lot of people like, I know a lot of people use them in classrooms where they can't have flames, or if you've got small children or pets around where you don't have a flame going, you can always put a candle on a mug warmer, and that'll still give you the scent without a flame, but a lot of people like the melts. So I do those. And then I very recently launched, the fragrance oils that you can use in a diffuser, or anywhere else that you would use an oil. And that's just the straight scent. And again, they're 10 milliliters, and they're exactly the same price as what you'll get elsewhere for 5 milliliters. So
I like the oils probably the best because I think you get the strongest smell.
I mean, like, bang for your buck, you can't beat them. They're $8. I sell them for $8. And that's in part just because that's the price that makes sense to me, the price point that makes sense to me. But I also want people to be able to have a way to sample a variety of different scents without investing, a larger sum of money in a large candle. I haven't counted this out myself, but just out of curiosity, I Googled like how many drops are in 10 milliliters, and Google says there's 100. And when I put it in my diffuser, I do like one or two. So
yeah, usually we do two. I like the stronger scent. So maybe when I ask my wife to, like, she'll ask me for a scent. I'm like, well, put a couple extra drops in there because I like it a little bit stronger.
The scent. Yeah, I always go strong. I think the only one, and I actually drop the oil percentage in my candles as well because it's very, very strong, is my Beast Library scent, which is a gorgeous, like, very masculine, woody, leathery scent. I like a strong scent. So that one is so powerful that that's the only one that I cut back a little bit when I use it.
George says Disney scented soap, just helping a girl out.
So I am a one woman shop and I'm a perfectionist. So I do kind of launch things in a tactical way.
Sure.
I make sure I can kind of keep up with inventory and I have 30 different scents. So you can imagine like that, you multiply that inventory out every time you create a new product. So I am working on some body products. I will say that I have lotions in the pipeline. So that's coming. I don't have soaps in the pipeline right now just because it makes a little less sense to me. I think people have asked for lotions more. I was going to do hand sanitizer, but the FDA I went through the whole process with the FDA and like I couldn't stand it anymore. I was like, forget it. Like, this is not worth it to me.
That's tough. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough because it's so regulated.
Well, it's just there. I mean, I had everything lined up and was doing everything on par with what they asked for, but just their it's just the government. It's red tape government stuff. Sure. And I think after my 900th call with them trying to figure out how to do their
not worth it.
It was like, you know what?
It's like, by the time you launch it, it wouldn't be as big of a thing anymore, and it'd be
right. Well, they pulled the regulations because of what's going on right now, but that's very temporary, so they can basically at any moment they could be like, never mind, and then your whole inventory is sitting there. So
yeah.
And they also don't actually want you to scent them. So anybody out there who's selling in this market like the scented hand sanitizer is not technically doing it in line with the FDA. So I wasn't that comfortable with launching with that. So anyway, I don't have soaps in the pipeline right now, but I do have lotions in the pipeline and I might have bath bombs in the pipeline.
Cool. You're spending my money, Lisa, and you don't know it. my wife's watching like, oh, bath bombs. Talking about
the memorizing things, that credit card number right now.
Talking about the things that Disney released for pass holders today. Another big one was, obviously the park reservation system, mm-hmm. that you'll have access to it if there's But another one was the 30% off till August 14th.
Yes. Yes.
So we that like is
merchandise. So I was joking with somebody that I wouldn't hate on Disney if it was just the Splash Mountain stuff that was being discounted just to get back at the eBayers.
Oh yeah. I'm hoping like Disney does like a blitz of like of just a bunch of merchandise at the stores like from now for another year. I don't think Splash Mountain's going to close before the 50th. I really don't.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think they had to get the message out now. I think that was important.
It was a great time to get the message out.
But obviously, like they're putting off so many projects, right? Like, you know, Spaceship Earth was supposed to close back in May, and now that's put off. Obviously they've got to work through some financial stuff. So they'll do it when it's time. We know it's coming.
Gary Reese wants to know any pixie dust scent. And before you answer that, Jerry Reese, I don't know if you're familiar with Jerry Reese. Jerry Reese is like a Disney icon. We interviewed him a few years ago on our show and I'm Facebook friends with him. Jerry directed more theme park attractions in Walt Disney World than anybody else, including Back to Neverland with Walter Cronkite and Robin Williams and the pre-show to Dinosaur and the 50 Years of Magic with Steve Martin in Disneyland. He worked on the original Tron movie. Amazing, amazing Disney talent.
Incredible.
So if you don't have a pixie dust scent, we're probably going to have to make him one.
Well, I will make one for you. So, Jerry, I will say I try to locate my candles more like pretty specifically to a place. I will say that whatever is your core memory, Disney scent is probably your pixie dust. So I don't have ones at this point that are just sort of Disney names that aren't located in a specific place. I have a lot of resorts covered. I have a lot of attractions covered, a lot of the sort of snacks and stuff covered. So I will say that, you know, whatever speaks to you is going to be your pixie dust.
Jerry says I'm making him blush, but it's true. I would highly recommend if you have not, it's the audio version of our podcast. If you Google the Disney Nerds podcast, Jerry Reese, go listen to that interview, him telling us about directing Walter Cronkite and Robin Williams is Steve Martin. It's amazing to hear his story. As a matter of fact, it's probably been 5 years since he was on the show. I probably need to have him back on. Edwin wants to know about a coupon code for the candle, and I think you still have one out there for shipping, don't you?
Yeah, so if you are making a purchase of $30 or more, shipping is always free with the DizFix code, DizFix30. So just pop that in. And there's actually a banner. When you go to the site, the main blog, or memorycandles.com, there's a banner across the top that has that discount code on it. So
there you go. Mark just shared it in the comments too. Also, something else you've done, I wouldn't say recently, but more recently, is some curated boxes.
Yes.
Of candles.
Yeah. So I'm rolling those out as well. So the first curated box that I have is called the Park Hopper Collection. They're extremely giftable. They're beautiful. And I do either the large black vessels or the tins. And rather than have them so when you buy a candle normally, it comes individually packaged in a brown craft box with a label on it. And then when you open it up, there's a note inside that mirrors the description on the page that's sort of meant to take you there before you even take the lid off the candle. So they're very, very giftable, even the individual ones. The curated boxes instead come four to a package in a high gloss box with a craft ribbon on it. And my Park Hopper collection is meant to take you to all four parks in one gift or in one package. So there's a sample scent from each of the parks. So I have Main Street for the Magic Kingdom, of course. I have Bright Suns for Hollywood Studios. I have Fall of Rome, which is the Spaceship Earth scent for Epcot. And then I have Ocean Flight for Animal Kingdom, which is, of course, from Flight of Passage.
Any candles scented toward the Wilderness Lodge?
So I have a Winter Lodge candle that's a gorgeous, gorgeous smell. And it's a little bit of a holiday scent. It's wonderful during the holidays because it really channels the Wilderness Lodge lobby when the Christmas tree is up. I burn it year round, and I know a lot of other people do, because it really does just embody that woody lobby scent of Wilderness Lodge.
Yes, Barry, that is Jerry Reese, who directed The Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, wow.
smell.
The inside of your Art of Animation.
Art of Animation.
So I don't have Art of Animation yet, or Pop. Those are two that I have in the pipeline. Needless to say, like, I need to be in a place quite a bit to finalize a scent, and I haven't been able to do that, you know, for a few months. So I've had a lot of scents that are on hold. And the Pop and Art of Animation scents, they're really sweet scents, but I wanted to make them a little bit more complex before I launched them and a little more interesting. So I needed to spend a little bit more time with them. So those both are coming, as is Port Authority, Riverside and French Quarter.
And my wife must have missed it earlier, but again, what is your favorite scent, Lisa?
So I think I said Riviera when you asked me last time.
You know, that's... People ask me what my favorite park is, like in Disney World, and on any given day, I could say Magic Kingdom or I could say Epcot. It just depends on how I'm feeling that day.
That's how I am with Epcot festivals. Like, one will start, and I'm like, food and wine, absolutely. And I'm like, oops, I meant the holiday.
The art is way better. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Festival of the Arts. No, I meant Flower and Garden.
Whatever one's going on at the current time. Yes, I agree. Melissa says she's putting her order together. Too many to pick.
Just get one.
Good problem to have.
Yeah, just get the curated box with each, whatever. Isn't there one option that has every scent?
Yes. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good way to sample them all. So, there is the full pack where you get all 30 scents, and you can get it's a significant discount, obviously, because you're getting all 30 at once, but.
30 candles.
You can get it in the form of anything. So you can get it as the fragrance oils. A lot of people do actually get the full 30 set in the fragrance oils, because it's a great way to just smell everything at once and figure out what you love. So I do sell that pretty often. I've sold the tins of it pretty often as well.
And those are a little less expensive than the regular candles too. So it's not as big of a deal to get all 30 of them at once.
Yeah, I mean, you get a significant discount. You know, it makes sense for me, obviously, you know, as well, too. So you get a significant discount when you're getting all of them. And you do still get them packaged the exact same way. So if you get, like, the 30 set of the tins or candles, you still do get them individually boxed with the notes like you would otherwise.
My wife thought that was the greatest thing, was the little handwritten notes in each box for the scents. She really did. Like, when we opened up the box, I didn't even tell her I ordered them. I just ordered them. And then when they came in, we opened them together, and she's like, oh, look at this. This is so nice that she, you know, there's a little note in each one about specific to that scent, not just a generic note that goes in every box, but everyone's.
No, it's a specific, like, hand cut note that goes in every single candle. I mean, they're meant to be very giftable, but they're also just meant to transport you from the moment. Like,
sure.
And if you've gotten them, you know, like, they're packaged, you know, with the crinkle paper when you first open the box, and, you know, it's meant to be a full experience from the moment that you open the box.
Yeah, I like it.
So,
Barry wants to know your favorite Disney attraction.
Just one.
Let's do one in each park.
One in each park.
That'll make it easier to narrow it down for you.
So Magic Kingdom is easy. People Mover all the way.
I love the People Mover.
With a side of Pirates of the Caribbean, probably. And these are all like the things that, they're all the attractions that not so much like a thrill ride or something, but like, it's always the attraction, especially when I was visiting here as a non-local, where I would like get on the ride and I'd be like, I'm home. Like, it's those attractions that are my favorite. And so, like, People Mover, a little bit of Pirates, like Magic Kingdom, that's like always like the places where I would like let myself like be in the moment and breathe and like, all right, I'm here. So that's my Magic Kingdom space. In Epcot, Spaceship Earth with a side of Living with the Land, for exactly the same reason, especially like as you're going by, and the scent of Fall of Rome of my candles is the smell, like as you're going by the Burning Library of Alexandria and Spaceship Earth, that's always one of those moments where I would like force myself to be in the moment when I was visiting. And then in Hollywood Studios, I think I'm still probably going to say Tower of Terror. And Arise is wonderful. Runaway Railway is wonderful, but Tower of Terror, like embodies studios for me. And then in Animal Kingdom, I know it's the easy answer. I know it's the obvious answer, but Flight of Passage is just next level for me.
It is great.
Yeah.
I have not done Runaway Railroad yet. Because it was open like a couple weeks and then they shut the parks down.
Yeah, I really, really like it. Like, it's very clever. Like, there are some big surprises. I don't know if you've probably seen the spoilers at this point.
I have not.
Okay, awesome.
It's spoiler free. I did the same thing. I don't do it with every attraction, but I did it with Rise of the Resistance, which I don't even know how you could spoil Rise of the Resistance, because even if
you watch the video, you're not going
to. It's not the same as being there in person because it's so immersive. But yeah, I've stayed pretty, I mean, I've seen some stuff that Disney's put out or like on their front page of their website, there's some stuff for Runaway Railroad, but as far as videos that like people have done, I have avoided until I can go. So I'll be doing that.
I would continue to avoid them. I agree with you on Rise. Like, you can't really spoil it. You could watch a video of the whole thing and still would have no idea what you're walking into.
Right. Absolutely.
But yeah, Runaway Railway, I think, yeah, there's some good surprises in there. It's really well done. And I personally, like, I know a lot of people hate the new animation style. A lot of people hate it. I actually don't. And I think it's because my kids like it so much. And like, to me, like anything that brings my, like anything that makes like my children who are like children of the 2010s.
Sure.
to a space where they love Mickey Mouse, I'm totally down with.
My kids are about to be 21 and 19. So I was like that with Phineas and Ferb. Mm-hmm. I lie. I just use them as an excuse to watch Phineas and Ferb. I still like Phineas and Ferb. So Tino's asking how many cents you have, and it's 30 total.
30 right now.
30.
Yeah.
Patricia wants to know if you sell any diffusers for the oil, or do you just sell the oils?
So I don't currently sell diffusers. Patricia, this is Jason, my friend Jason's mom, Patricia. So I don't personally sell diffusers at this point. I could bring them on the site, but it's just easier for you to get them. Like, Patricia, I'll send you a link to the one that I use from Amazon. It's very inexpensive.
My wife said she kept your notes.
Oh, thank you.
That's how much it meant that when she opened those boxes and got handwritten notes that she kept them.
It's meant to.
Paris says Dinosaur is very underrated.
I'm still waiting for the Indiana Jones overlay. Reimagining of Dinosaur.
Yeah.
But
was it your post that you asked what attraction you would get rid of? I said Dino Land. And
that was another valid answer.
Yeah, that's not an attraction. That's a whole land.
So Mission Space is the only thing I won't ride, period. I can't do teacups anymore either because I get too nauseous.
My wife can't do Mission Space. You can't even do green.
I can do anything like motion-wise, but I rode Mission Space one time and I get a little claustrophobic. I'm not terrible, but I get claustrophobic. And I went with my mom. And we got on, and there was like all the warnings about claustrophobia as you're going in, but I didn't really take them too seriously because you always see those. And like we get in and like we pulled down the harness, and my mom looks at me and she's like, "Are you sure you're okay?" And I was like, "Yeah," but she kind of like put it in my head. Like, okay. And so we pulled the harness down and I was like, "Yeah." And then I start like thinking, "Am I okay?" And then all of a sudden that like door locks on the side of the pod and I'm like, and then all of a sudden the wall comes toward your face. I was like, it was just me and my mom in there. And I was literally like kicking the door, like for them to open it. It was bad. And then I just had to be like, all right, breathe through it. Never again. Never again. It's not even that good of an attraction.
I mean, I know. I enjoy it, and I get. I mean, when you realize that it is like technically a flight simulator that they use for astronauts. I mean, it's kind of cool in that respect. Yeah. I guess you got to be extra nerdy to appreciate it that way. I am kind of mad they got rid of Gary Sinise. Although Gina Torres is cool, I like her, but
I also think it replaced Horizons, so it had big shoes to fill.
Oh, that's a good point. Melissa wants to know, and we're gonna end this with this last question. Can you describe the land scent?
Yes, the land scent is incredible. So the land scent, if you, it's earth and plant life. And if you've ever, if you're a gardener, if you have a vegetable garden and you've ever rubbed your tomato leaves between your fingers on a tomato plant and smelled your fingers, that like that tomato leaf scent is probably the most prominent scent in the land candle. So there it's really earth and plant life. And because that tomato leaf scent is such a strong familiar scent, I would say that's probably the most prominent scent in the candle. And I've got diehard land candle fans. Like there are people like who that's like their, I love it too, but I have people who like the land candle is just their all time favorite and they won't waver.
Good stuff. I like it. I hope now I'm going to have to go buy candles. As soon as I get off of here into the kitchen, I'm sure I'll be ordering candles because my wife is probably there with a list.
Yeah, it's like Kim's got a list for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's our birthday month. And I'm going to Disney without her. Ooh, yeah. So, yeah, probably
need a box. They've got a long list, Kim.
Yes. Well, you're coming, so whatever you order, I will bring you, and you can take them home.
I'll talk to you offline because we do, when we come in November, one of the things we do is for our meetups is a scavenger hunt, and we do a lot of, we do prizes for, like, we put teams together and we do prizes. So I'm going to get with you too, because I think I'm going to buy some candles from you to do, to include in like the prize packs we do.
Yeah. I was going to talk to you about that offline too. Like if you ever want to do a giveaway. Like
yeah. And that's great. Cause I'll be there like, you know, a few days in advance. So we can coordinate where you can, hopefully by then you can just drop them at the resort for me, but if not, I can meet up. I'll meet up with you somewhere. So, Patricia wants to know if there's holiday fragrances.
Yeah, there's quite a few. So there's the Winter Lodge one that I mentioned before that kind of is year-round awesome, but it's mainly inspired by Wilderness Lodge during the holidays. There is a Grand Gingerbread scent that is inspired by the Grand Floridian's Gingerbread House. There's a Very Merry scent that's sort of that like Fraser fir scent that you get when you're watching the Very Merry parade that they pump out of the floats. It's that scent. I'm forgetting stuff. There's a Pumpkin King scent. That's that sort of very, very like rich, buttery pumpkin scent from the fall. I'm forgetting things.
I've never been to the Christmas party, so I'm hoping they'll have it this year because we have plans to go.
It's hard because these, you know, you got to think like what drives these holiday parties is like
the fireworks
and the shows and the parades and the characters. And it's like all the stuff you can't do and like lining up for snacks. Like you're not going to be able to really do that in a practical way either. So like, how do you sell a ticket for a party, you know, when you're really not in a position to offer?
And they're not cheap. So
they're really expensive. And the parks are, and also like the, as of right now, like the parks are empty. So like when we would come as a family on vacation, we would get party tickets for a chance to be in a less crowded park. And yeah, you just don't need that right now.
I think the last time I saw you in person was not this past year, not this year, but the year before was for the Villains media event.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I live in New Orleans, so Lisa usually does the media event. Our Lisa does the media event for us typically. But I try and make it down for some of those. All right, guys, we've been going for about an hour.
Yeah.
Melissa says she's added the land, starting up with 7 oils. Can't wait. Awesome. All right. Thank you guys for joining. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us and entertaining us for a while. It's been fun and you've been so kind and we appreciate it.
My pleasure always. Thank you so much for having me.
And we got so wrapped up talking candles that we didn't even get to other parts. So we definitely got to have you back on again.
I mean, these late nights are great for me because the kids are chill and they're kind of hanging out. So it's an easy time for me to hop on. So yeah, I'm easy conversation. You guys are awesome.
We'll need to do a show just like for about running.
Yeah, for sure. That's a whole show.
Yeah, we can do a whole show.
That's minimum an hour. Minimum.
Yeah, like, how do we not talk about that at all?
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining next Tuesday. Well, I guess I'll be back next Tuesday, but stay tuned to the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. There will be some live streams coming from the parks starting on Thursday. So hope to see you on there and have a good one. Thank you, Jerry. Nerds do rule. Have a good one. Thank you, guys. Kwaharini.
Have a magical night.
Compulsory mortals pay a toll.